You are watching Money on the Left, proudly presented in partnership with Monthly Review Online. For this special episode, I'm joined by documentary filmmaker Maren Poitras. Maren is currently looking to wrap production on the first ever feature-length documentary film about modern monetary theory. Titled Finding the Money, the film tracks Stephanie Kelton and other MMT economists as they work to take their theory from the margins to the mainstream. It also does really good work educating audiences about the history of money, right? And I think together, those two sort of directions and trajectories of the documentary promise to sort of go a long ways toward helping the cause to finally dispel some of the founding myths of our current neoliberal nightmare. We're thrilled about the halfway point through this episode to be sharing a 4-minute teaser from that film. Audio only listeners are invited to come check it out on YouTube, and we'll include the link in the show notes. But everyone is strongly encouraged to check out the film's website, findingmoneyfilm.com. And then, promptly after this episode, head over to the Docklands Film Festival webpage, watch Maren pitch the film, and then vote for Finding the Money for the Audience Award. And anyone can vote. So after this episode, maybe during this episode, if you want to open another tab, go watch and vote for Maren's clip for Finding the Money. Maren Poitras, welcome to Money on the Left.
Thank you. Good to see you, Billy, and really happy to be here. Big fan.
Good to see you, too. So we have you on here to talk about your film project, Finding the Money, and we're going to hear a little bit more from you very, very shortly about your sort of background and how you came to this project. But before we get there, could you tell us, you know, what is Finding the Money? What's the story here?
Yeah. So Finding the Money follows Stephanie Kelton. She's part of an underdog group of economists who are seeking to flip our understanding of money, debt, and taxes really upside down. We have this debate happening every day over what the federal government can afford in terms of COVID relief or infrastructure or moving into doing something about the crises of climate change and inequality. The question is often, you know, how are we going to pay for it? Where are we going to find the money? And of course, Stephanie Kelton says, since Congress is the sole issuer of the U.S. dollar, you know, finding the money is actually the easy part. So what we want to do in the film is really kind of have two parallel story arcs where we're following Stephanie Kelton and MMT economists in the modern day as they have this debate over what the federal government can afford and why. But this debate really traces back to a debate about the origin story of the nature of money itself. And so we bring in kind of these historical examples and historical interludes, which will be animated. And we go from, 5,000 years ago in ancient Mesopotamia, we have clay tablets, to tally sticks in medieval England, cowrie shells in West Africa, paper in the U.S. colonies, to digital records on bank balance sheets today stored virtually in the cloud. And the main question of this story arc is to understand, has money always been a real thing that we have to go out and find, or has money always been virtual? And that really informs the debate we're having today about how much the federal government can afford to spend. Every historical interlude will give clues that propel the modern timeline forward, that bring us through this trajectory to finally understanding, what MMT economists say the national debt represents. There's this concept that we build throughout the historical interludes that money always has two sides. And that eventually builds to understand that we can flip the national debt, upside down to see the other side.
I'd like to invite you to share a little bit about your personal and professional background and how that sort of led you to this project.
Yeah, sure. So, of course, it's been a bit of a circuitous path, definitely not direct. Going into college, I intended to go to school for film and environment to do, kind of environmental documentaries. But I kind of dropped the film part then and just focused on the environment, environmental science background, food and agriculture. And that kind of led me more to pursuing the food and agriculture part, living off the grid, producing food, farming, building, that sort of thing. And then kind of eventually, once I had that grounding, I feel like more I got back to film and activism and just trying to understand these bigger societal systemic issues like climate change and inequality and kind of what's causing them, why we're not doing anything about them, and what we maybe could do or what would be the most effective thing to do in terms of my efforts and kind of purpose in life, I guess. So always thinking big picture. But that, you know, of course, led me to money eventually, right? And MMT. But of course, you know, it took a little while. And I guess I originally was very interested in ecological economics and kind of understanding economic growth specifically in an environmental context, like thinking that we can have exponential GDP growth on a finite planet, and why more people weren't questioning that, or, you know, why is this the mantra of economics? Like, the number one goal of the field is to get economic growth, right? And it still is, and people do question it and realize that it's maybe not the best metric of economic health and societal, you know, happiness or well-being. But eventually, you know, it's the big question of what is the economy for, and maybe how could it operate differently? How could it operate sustainably, you know, within our planetary limits? And so I think in order to understand that question of, you know, how can we have an economy that actually works for people and the planet, how can we make that happen? You have to understand what money is, right? And you have to understand that we do have agency in this thing we call the economy, that we're not kind of powerless under this big natural force of this external economy, that we have to kind of placate if we want to get any dregs. You know, maybe the film I originally set out to make wasn't about MMT. It was maybe more about economic growth, and I still want to really pursue that. But MMT is really, I think, the foundation, gets to the foundation of economics itself. And we have to start at the root, right? I mean, start at the foundation of understanding money and the economy, what it actually is, who creates it, where it comes from, you know, who has power. Only once we understand that can we build upon more complexity, right? And so that's what's always really drawn me, you know, to this issue, is kind of like, how can we have this really, really complex science we call economics built upon what might be completely faulty foundations, right? I mean, the math is extraordinarily complex. And I'm like, does it mean anything if it's built upon a false foundation? I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. I think it's, you know, really one of the most important stories not being told right now. And clearly, you know, it's getting more and more attention and moving more and more into the mainstream, but is still a huge paradigm shift that really needs to reach, you know, a much wider segment of the population from where it's perhaps confined now within finance, Twitter, or, you know, or even academia. But of course, it's not accepted in academia either. And that's what lends the drama and the conflict so important to a film and a story like this, and what draw me to making a film. You know, you need the conflict. And this story has plenty of that, and it has really engaging characters, you know, real people, and a real, you know, trajectory that's unfolding in the present. Things are changing and evolving every day, so it's important to document that process. And so that's where I just decided to jump in and start documenting it. And then, you know, not, of course, not really knowing where it will lead. So I'll stop there.
No, I think that's great. And I think it's helpful, maybe even a bit unusual, to probably have subjects of a film kind of give you a narrative arc over and over again in terms of, and we're about to watch the clip, but a favorite kind of saying or credo for MMT advocates is like, the first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win. And it seems to me like they're clearly at the fight you stage, right? And that seems to be the kind of conviction here. But I think that's interesting in terms of the narrative arc, right? There's something there that's sort of like, they're ready to help you shape the story. But I wanted to ask you just a little bit more about coming to MMT. I think one of my favorite things about interviewing people on this podcast And then just talking to people about MMT in general is, I like to think of it as like a conversion story. You know, do you remember what one text or YouTube video or what, you know, what was the form or medium of your first encounter with MMT? And do you remember kind of, was it in that moment or was it over time and over continued exposure to MMT that you went from this broad sort of interest in heterodoxy, ecological economics to the money question?
Yeah, definitely. I guess the first thing I came across in one random book that I checked out from the library, local library, it just casually mentioned that banks create money out of thin air when they make loans. And I was just like, wait, what? You know, I had never heard of that. And so I was also trying to understand, yeah, what the heck happened in 2008 financial crisis. Like, I was trying to catch up on that maybe around 2016. And so that was kind of my first thing that really grabbed me, and I decided to dig into that and understand, okay, how exactly do they do that? And so I really just wanted to know the mechanics of how that worked and how they were allowed to do that. And that really led me more to positive money and public banking. You know, I guess they're more in the vein that private banks shouldn't be allowed to do this. A guy I was working with, you know, we were both very skeptical of MMT at first, and kind of MMT was coming in and they were having these debates, and I was reading these debates between like Randall Ray and whoever the positive money economist was. And so I was like, I would like write out on my own, you know, write essays like showing why MMT was like wrong and why positive money was right. You know, I was like, money isn't debt. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, you know. So it took me a while. Like, it took me definitely a while to buy in. You know, one guy I was working with was also very skeptical, and he was like, you know, what if MMT is right and, like, we've been wrong? And I was like, sweet, great. Like, if they're right, that would be great to know, and we can go from there. You know, I was always open to figuring out what, you know, the truth is or what have you. But I think, you know, he said he kind of introduced this group MMT that I hadn't heard of. You know, obviously they seem like a small, you know, group, but he's like, they want to supplant the entire field of macroeconomics. You know, they're going to be the new paradigm of macroeconomics. And that kind of got my attention. I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty assertive, you know, or like, that's pretty bold. But sure, I guess I'll look into what they're saying. And so finally, reading Randy Ray's books and more books. Even Felix Martin's book, Money, the historical perspective, and Randy Ray has that too. That's what really made it all come together and click for me, was kind of understanding the history of money. Mm-hmm. And so that really is a big important part of the framing of Finding the Money, is, you know, why I also call it Finding the Money, is we kind of go through this historical exploration to find the nature of money itself. Because I think we have to go back and kind of re-examine the foundational story of money, the origin story of money, in order to understand, you know, the nature of money. And I think that is the root of the conflict today, when we're having a debate in 2021 about how much the federal government can afford to spend on infrastructure or on the coronavirus crisis or on climate change. That debate actually directly, you know, traces back to a 1,000-year-old debate about what money is and where it comes from. And of course, that traces back to the myth of barter, the story that we find in conventional mainstream economic textbooks. So for me, a lot goes back to there, and that's when things really clicked for me.
So you came by it pretty honestly, right? You came with a set of questions and worked at it and kept reading and were skeptical. I think that's tremendous. So that brings us to maybe last spring, viewers and listeners to this podcast and may have seen and maybe even contributed to a crowdfunding campaign for Finding the Money. We are thrilled, and part of the reason we're doing a video as well as audio version of this interview is we're thrilled to share a bit of that project and a glimpse of where it is now and where it's going to go. And there's some excitement here because it's part of a film fest called Dockland.
Yeah.
Right. And so we're gonna watch a clip. Could you set it up for us, and then we'll talk a bit about the competition and how people can get involved.
So yeah, Docklands Film Festival happens in San Rafael, California, in the Bay Area, a well-known documentary film festival, and they have this thing called Doc Pitch, where they pick five films in production to pitch their project, and we're all going to receive a grant generously from the California Film Institute, and then we all will be showing a 3 to 5 minute teaser of our films and talking about our projects and encouraging anyone in the world to vote for the project that they believe in. And there will be an audience award to win a significant sum towards production, $30,000. So this is, you know, a really big opportunity for this project. And it's a really great way to, you know, contribute without having to give your own money. So by voting, would make a tremendous difference to seeing this film move forward in production, because as most people know, this is an independent production, so it just does take time to put together the financing for a film like this. And, you know, people can work on these films for a while, but I think we know this story is very urgent and timely, and the quicker we can get it out, the better. So that's certainly my objective. You know, it's been a difficult year with COVID, but you know, we do have kind of a rough assembly. We just need to shoot a bit more to fill in gaps. And then we will go into, you know, really the main edit and post-production. So the only thing slowing us down at this point is funding. So this is huge. And then the momentum that will come from this exposure as well is really important. So so this will just be the teaser for the film. At this point, it's about 4 minutes. And I give a little pitch description as well on the website that you can see.
Great. Let's watch it.
I mean, I've been doing this now for a lot of years in front of mostly, I won't say hostile audiences, but in a sense, usually when I show up for an appearance, it's like walking into the lion's den.
Our next speaker is going to introduce this crazy radical idea that we maybe don't need to tax people in order to get their money to pay for things. Introducing this radical idea is Stephanie Kelton.
I come with an unconventional message. We think of spending and taxing as two sides of the same coin. If we want to fund a new program, the question is, how are you going to pay for it? Where will you get the money? You have to find the money. That's not how it works, okay? The way that the conventional story goes, Uncle Sam needs money. If Uncle Sam wants to spend, Uncle Sam has to find some money. He can tax and he can borrow. Once it's collected the dollars, after that, it can spend. We flip that around completely.
An unconventional economic theory is gaining some traction. Modern monetary theory, MMT.
And one of its leading proponents is Professor Stephanie Kelton. She has advised Bernie Sanders' campaign.
And she argues that almost everything we are told about the deficit is wrong.
We're $28 trillion in debt. There will be a day of reckoning.
If you're looking for more COVID bailout money, we don't have it.
How are we going to pay for it?
Congress has spent all the money.
You don't find the money.
It's not a matter of finding the money. They don't find the money, they create it. They create it through a keystroke.
Washington holds the power of the purse. They don't need to come to the rest of us to get dollars in order to be able to spend dollars. They're the source of the US currency.
Governments have to spend first. How can you tax back dollars that no one has?
In a real sense, it is as simple as that.
But there's nothing more deceptive than an obvious fact.
This idea of so-called modern monetary theory that all government debts can be paid by printing money.
First they ignore you, then they ridicule you, then they fight you, and then you win. And for many years, we felt ignored.
You can't do what you're looking to do with $20 trillion in debt.
We want to lift this crushing burden of debt off of our children and grandchildren.
The government debt is not a burden on anyone.
It is exactly the opposite.
Zimbabwe printed more currency to pay its bills, too.
That leads to inflation.
No. Inflation is the constraint. But at some point,
they started laughing at us.
Modern monetary theory? I think of all the ideas I've ever heard in my lifetime, that's one of the stupidest. I
mean, we were always asking ourselves the question, do conventional economists understand what we're speaking of?
MMT is confused. The problem of deficits, of course, is that you have to pay back the money.
We do not have to repay the debt.
Or is it that they actually don't understand?
And then to the fight you stage. And so we're in the fight you stage.
Modern monetary theory tells us that the debt doesn't matter.
This theory is complete nonsense.
Bill Gates recently took exception with MMT, calling it crazy talk.
How are you gonna pay for this?
America's broke.
Out of control debt.
The debt
that we are gonna have to pay back.
We don't have any money.
The government doesn't need money. The government needs us to need money.
The difference is not a trivial one. It changes everything.
It changes our view of the nature of money.
The true story of money is not the story that I've been told.
So that was really great, and there's a lot to talk about in there. I know our audience is going to be interested to hear a little bit about some of the artistic choices that you're making in the film, and so I'd invite you to share about those. But I think, you know, watching it again, I'm really struck by the sort of access that you have to some of MMT's sort of most prominent advocates, and specifically Stephanie Kelton. And I think, you know, a lot of our listeners and viewers will have, seen talks from Stephanie, but not like her setting up for a talk or reflecting on talks. So I think that's really remarkable. And I'd invite you to share a little bit about, is that part of your process and part of your thinking, is sort of getting behind the scenes of the fight, as they put it?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, that is kind of what documentary is all about, is kind of showing you the behind the scenes. Stephanie's been really generous, letting me, you know, follow her around a bit. And like I said, you know, in terms of aesthetic choices, it's a little bit more practical, I feel like, just grabbing a camera and going, you know, in a lot of ways, and just trying to capture what I can, you know, as efficiently as I can and affordably as I can. So as you know, I've been trying to keep my budget down, and you helped with our main interview setup. So I think, you know, a lot of the film is really getting to know Stephanie, you know, as a person, because like you mentioned, you know, there are a lot of YouTube videos and lectures available online, and those are really, really important for diving into the material. But they don't kind of give you that perspective on the whole story and the whole picture. And so I think understanding what drives people, what motivates them, and what is the core of this conflict, you know, the aesthetic choices I made in terms of the interview subject speaking directly into the camera just helps you establish that kind of rapport. And they're making bold statements, you know, and so you have to kind of decide if you trust this person or not, based on kind of what they say and what you see that motivates them. So that's what's really important for me, and understanding myself, you know, kind of what motivates Stephanie. And we've had some great talks about, there was this really nice moment that I thought, you know, where she talks about climate change, and she says she thinks, you know, MMT just grabs you by the shirt and shakes you. You know, when we talk about climate change, that, you know, we're going to look back in 10 years with such regret, you know, if the reason we're not doing what needs to be done is just because we don't understand the monetary system well enough. You know, I mean, she thinks it's crazy, right? It's crazy that the reason we wouldn't spend or do, you know, do what needed to be done to transform the economy to prevent climate change, you know, the repercussions of that are going to be enormous for our actual children and grandchildren, right? And so I think, you know, that's a lot of what motivates her, and you're able to see that, you know, in the film, and then see behind, and then of course it is the fight, so there's a story arc of, you know, kind of watching her struggle in a way. You know, obviously she is on an upward trajectory and succeeding in so many ways, and some people would argue, you know, already won in this context of coronavirus, the COVID crisis, and the new paradigm kind of we're in, where the government did respond in a big way, you know, did a lot of spending to get us out of the COVID crisis and through it. And I really think they, like, I mean, almost all of the credit to that should go towards MMT folks and Stephanie. It really shows the work she's been doing has been incredibly successful, you know, working behind the scenes with politicians, with members of Congress and local politicians to understand that, you know, they can spend more. There aren't going to be crazy repercussions in terms of the national debt or interest rates. That's not what we need to be worrying about. And so she has in many ways succeeded, you know, in the U.S. responding to this crisis much more effectively than they responded to the 2008 crisis, right? But I wouldn't say, you know, they've quite won yet. I think there is a ways to go, and we do still hear, you know, the same old talking points that, oh, don't push it too far. You know, any minute we could get spiking interest rates and spiking hyperinflation. You never know where it's going to pop up any minute. But yes, this is the story arc that really carries the film is Stephanie's story. And Stephanie, who kind of, you know, right, is the face of this group. And we bring in other voices, really important voices of other MMT economists, Randy Ray, Matt Forstatter, Louis Yule, you know, Fadl Kaboob, many more that we interview, who are all, you know, amazing individuals in and of themselves. And so it's really, you know, a small group of underdogs, right, that are kind of taking on the big establishment of mainstream economics. And the question is, you know, are they going to win in their struggle and in their fight to kind of revolutionize the entire field?
Sure. So I think I'd like to talk a little bit about audience, and I think that relates to what you were talking about there, right? You're speaking with some of the sort of primary, I mean, certainly Stephanie is the most prominent advocate and principal theorist of modern monetary theory, and then others that we spoke with at the Stony Brook conference, right? But also at those conferences, I think we met at the New School conference in what, 2018, and you were filming there. There's so many people there who are interested and sort of, I think, motivated for a number of different reasons, like others like you who are there to answer questions, right? To find answers to questions about like degrowth and, you know, that sort of stuff. So do you imagine, I guess I'm sort of setting you up for a specific kind of answer, but can you tell us a little bit about I think that that's part of your audience. Am I wrong?
People looking for answers?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, the people who are like, so the broader MMT community, certainly we can imagine as an audience. There's also the sort of policymakers as an audience. Who do you sort of think of when you're editing and filming these interviews and conceiving of this project? Is it as specific as that, or is it more broad?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I mean, I have the biggest ambition of the broadest audience possible. I mean, I really do, because this film, you know, we talked about the lectures that are out there, and I think, you know, there is a lot available for folks who are already interested in the subject and searching for answers. But this is a story that puts the whole thing together in an entertaining package, right? It's mm-hmm. It's bite-sized and it's digestible for the general public. So that's really my whole goal, is to kind of condense the full story into an entertaining film. And so that shows the conflict, it shows both sides, it kind of, there are a lot of questions raised about, you know, kind of who knows what, or, you know, is this some kind of a dark conspiracy that we don't understand these basics about who creates the money, or, you know, could this actually be a misunderstanding that goes back much, much further to the story we tell about the nature of money itself. And so, of course, not making any assumptions that people know mainstream economics yet. So, and sometimes that's easier, right, if you're not steeped in mainstream economics already. But then you kind of have to first show, okay, what do the economists actually say? And then juxtapose that with what MMT is saying and how that's the opposite. And luckily, you know, these aren't just economic sayings that we hear only if you are in an economics class. I mean, we hear this every day from politicians and newscasters, you know, they're always asking, what are we going to do about the national debt? You know, what about the burden on our grandchildren? How are you going to pay for it? I mean, this is the core of our political debate that comes up every single day. And I just believe, you know, all voters have a right to participate in this debate. And we can't, you know, in a democracy, I think eventually the film really wants to show that the economy itself And economics itself, you know, is really just politics, you know, is something that we create as a system, you know, to provision for each other in a society. You know, what is the economy? It's how we decide to share and distribute the stuff that we need to survive. And the economy itself is not an external, you know, kind of natural force that we're powerless against, that we create it to begin with. You know, we write the rules. It's not these kind of mysterious laws of the universe that we're trying to figure out, right? It's like, we created it. We should know what the darn rules are. We should know how it functions, and we should know how we might want to change it if we want to improve any problems that we see coming up, which I think there are some problems that we could identify. And so I very much think that this is the center of the political debate, that we can't have, for, you know, debate around what to do about climate change, what to do about inequality, what to do about a lot of issues, when we're just having the wrong debate, right? The foundations aren't there to have the correct debate. And that's what MMT, I think, often says their goal is just to have a better public debate about these issues, to debate the real issues. You know, I think it really has a huge potential to shift, you know, the traditional partisan divide that we see in this country between left and right, and, you know, taxing and spending and what that means. That's why it's so important for this story to reach beyond, you know, even partisan divisions. And so I want it to reach the widest audience possible so that we can have a real debate about, you know, policies.
No, I mean, that yeah, that's amazing. Hear, hear. Broadest possible audience. And I think that that clip that you showed, you know, should put to bed any concerns people have about this being boring, right? Certainly very engaging. And having had the privilege, I guess, of seeing some of the other footage that you have, I can promise that it's not boring, that there's some really, really exciting stuff and great stuff that you've captured, both from MMT folks and others, right? So, without going too far down that direction, I want to, you know, ask you, what can people do to make sure that the film comes together, that this audience award goes to you, and that you get the grant money that you need to finish this film?
Yeah, I mean, of course, just I would appreciate every vote if people can just take the time to go to the website at Docklands, DocPitch. There'll be a link in the show notes, I assume.
Yeah, show notes and the YouTube video, yeah.
Okay, so go to vote for the film on Docklands. Anyone can vote, so of course share with your friends and family. They can vote as well. So of course there's social media, and I'm just hoping to reach the MMT audience that I know is out there and that have already been really generous in terms of the crowdfunding campaign, just to even reach a wider audience, to start getting folks involved at this stage is just important for a film to show the support, and then to gain funding to bring the film to fruition and all the way through to a successful distribution. You know, having kind of an engaged audience is really important, and to ensure that, you know, there will be an audience, and then this niche audience of MMT fans that already exists will help spread the film to the wider audience that we really hope to reach. We also have our website, which will have a link. It's www.findingmoneyfilm.com. We still have a GoFundMe open for right now. So if you do feel like giving more financially, you can do so. Tax deductible donations, you know, we're really, really open to that. And I'm, of course, always available to talk to if you'd like to get, you know, more involved, if you have skills to contribute or want to talk. Yeah, check out our website and connect. You can sign up for our email list to get updates.
So go to the Docklands website first and foremost. Vote for the Docs. The doc pitch for finding the money. Vote early, vote often.
Yes. Well, yes. One person, one vote.
One person.
And it'll be open till May 10th. So please get your vote in and share all the way until May 10th.
So you have a few days after this is published to make sure to get that done. I would suggest just do it now, right? You're either on your computer or your phone. Click the link. Go vote.
Yes, please.
Maren Poitras, thank you so much for joining us on Money on the Left.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure. I feel like we could talk all day.
Absolutely.